It is hard to come in here and be all sad and somber knowing it's Good Friday when we already know what's coming. You guys know what I'm saying? It's like, I know that this is a sad day, but I know what else, I know the rest of the story. You know, and so we get excited about this. You say, you get excited about the cross. I get excited about the defeat of sin. I get excited about what it represents. And man, that has just been so heavy on my heart to fully understand the cross, to understand the tomb, to understand why Jesus orchestrated it all. If you've ever thought about everything that he did was on purpose, it was strategic. For us to learn a lesson. God knows that we need visuals that we don't fully understand. When I was in school in elementary, I struggled with fractions. Did anybody else struggle with fractions? Just be honest. Some of you can't remember far that back. Okay, but I just remember I struggled with fractions. It's like all the numbers and the number over the number and all this other stuff. And one time I had a teacher that just said, let me teach it like this. She said, imagine you've got a pie. And I'm like, okay, you've got my attention. And she said, you take the pie and you split it in half. That's half, you know, and she drew the fraction. And I'm like, the lights went off and I'm like, okay, I get that. Do you understand that the things that Jesus did through the Easter story, through Good Friday, through the Passover, through the triumphal entry, through all the things that he did was he was just drawing a picture. He was putting it down on our level for us to understand. It's you think about how often Jesus taught with visuals. His entire ministry was done. But I don't think anything that happened on this weekend but was by accident. You say this weekend. I know the date changes. You know, it's like some people was like, this is not the day he died. I'll tell you, I could celebrate Good Friday every day, okay? I don't know the exact date, but I know he died on the cross for my sins. And I know tonight we're here together to celebrate what he did on the cross. But have you ever thought how everything played out on purpose? It says in the Bible when Jesus was teaching, and he often said this, and Jesus said, my time has not yet come. Or he said, my hour has not yet come. And I've thought about that. Jesus, if he came to die, he could have been at any age and said, here's my life, I died for your sins because the blood of Jesus Christ would have been effective no matter what the age of Jesus would have been. But think about it, through his life, how often he said, don't go tell people all these different things that he did. My hour's not yet come. And we talked about that last Sunday, even with Judas, that he couldn't betray him in that time because it was not yet Jesus' time. So what made that day the day? What connected the dots on that time? You think about it, he was waiting for what? Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. He was trying to calm the crowd, and we already looked at this a little bit, and he stood before them in John 18:39, and he said, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one on the Passover. And he's talking about the Passover was a time that they celebrated when they departed out of Egypt and the plagues were done and the blood was shed and they because the death angel passed by them because they trusted in the obedience of what God said for the lamb to die and the blood to be shed. And it was just prophetic of what was to come. And they had a lot of traditions, just like we are gathered together tonight on a Friday night to celebrate this. And he said, will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? It was a big deal, but Pilate was going to lean into one of their traditions. And he says in verse 39 at the beginning of it, but you have a custom. He said, I've got an idea. He said, let me just honor one of your traditions. He said, I've got an idea. I know how this man's innocent. I know this is not a big deal. And he said, the crowd is uproaring and they're all upset about this. And he said, I will pardon this guy. Let me say he's guilty and then we'll just let him go. And then you guys could all be happy. Then the unexpected happened. And they cried all again and saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I want you to get the visual here. I want you to look at this picture. I want you to get an idea of what's happening here. I know this is just from Passion of the Christ, but the idea that you had the innocent on one side and the guilty on the other. You talk about a contrast. You talk about a visual of Jesus literally like, my hour is not yet come. Wait for this. I want to paint another picture. I want to tell another story. I want to give another visual. I want to give another illustration. My hour's not yet come. It's come now. It's come now. Do you think Jesus was caught off guard that they brought up Barabbas? Do you think it was an accident? Do you understand that in that moment of what's going on in this passage? Barabbas was a convicted thug. It says in Mark about him, he says, and there was one named Barabbas, lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. He started a riot. We talk about him just being a thief and a bad guy. He started a riot. And in the midst of that, people died, and it was his fault. He was a thug. He was a robber. He was a murderer. He was one that caused grief and problems. And you talk about the contrast of these two pictures. He was guilty, and on the other hand, you have Jesus. He healed the sick, raised the dead, loved the outcast. And Pilate cries out, who should go free? It's an obvious choice. But we can say, well, that worked out well for Barabbas. It's not how it worked. It was the plan of God. Amen. For on that day, for us to visualize Jesus one side, you say Barabbas, no, not Barabbas on the other. All of us. He said, I'm not a murderer. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the visual of what God is doing through Jesus Christ, as he's saying, you might not fully get this, but he said, this is every one of us on trial. This is every one of us that is guilty of sin, that has fallen short of the glory of God. You say, why did he wait for this day? He was waiting for this moment. For God to cry out and say, time out! You are guilty! I have a substitution! And we step aside as Jesus comes into our place. The guilty steps aside. You talk about the love of God being displaced in this story of Good Friday. The Bible says in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. What we see is an outpouring of the love of God for you and for me. We say that he went to the cross and died for our sins. And let me say, that is all true. But I want you to see through this how much more Jesus did for us. I'm not belittling that. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, and it's all true, that he said that the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I know as Jesus is going to the cross, that Jesus, it was laid on him the sins of us. Our past, our failures, our iniquities, our problems. But it was being demonstrated more. I think when the timeout and the Barabbas going free and for Jesus to step up, I think that we don't fully understand that humanity had a sickness and there was no cure. I don't think we always understand the sickness that we have, but I do know that every person understands the effects of the sickness that we have. For months when Logan had cancer leading up to it, we didn't know that he had something bad inside of him. But we knew that he had all these different side effects that was coming, and the cough and the passing out and all these other things. And I think it's the same thing with humanity today, that people are like, I know something's wrong. I can't put my finger on it. And they try to fix it. They try to fix the side effects by drugs and alcohol and doing all these things that I've got to feel better because I know something's off. And even in Hollywood, as much money as they'll make and the celebrity status that they have and the yachts that they have and the prestige and the weddings and all the things that they're able to throw money at, nothing satisfies because they're sick with something that can't be satisfied with anything in this world. And we might not fully understand this sickness, but we know that the world is hurting. Have you ever thought about the things that you've done wrong in your life that you could, if you could go back, I would do anything to change it? We have this deep regret. And we all have this. If I could redo my teen years, or if I could go back to that one night, if I could change that decision, we have these regrets. And you think, I was so foolish. Man, why did I make those mistakes? Why did I hurt my parents? Why did I hurt my spouse in that way? People will tell you, oh, just forget about that. But those mistakes that we've made in our past, they eat at us. And I know not everybody admits that, but there's something inside of them. People just say, who cares? But it bothers us. But I just want to show you, as Jesus goes to the cross, what all he was taking. What all the love of God, when he said the substitution and he took our place. And in Isaiah, it breaks this down and it says, surely he hath borne our griefs. Have you ever stopped? Why does it say our griefs and carried our sorrows? It wasn't just a matter of, he said, I'm going to take your sin to the cross. He was saying, I know you're sick. He was taking our guilt. Jesus took our guilt to the cross. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Isn't that all one and the same? When the Bible says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, it was a visual. He did not just die on the cross. He carried the cross. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible says born. It's like that visual of that, to born, to be placed on him. That visual of Jesus with the cross, carrying the cross. Have you ever thought about that? That was another visual of what he gave us. When he said substitution and Barabbas steps out, the guilty goes for, and they laid on Jesus, not just to die on top of Calvary, but they said, no, you've got to carry this to Calvary. Step by step, moment by moment, carrying the weight of what? And Jesus said, and God gave us the illustration of this. He said, I want you to understand what I'm taking from you. I know the weight that you have. I know the sickness that you have. The word griefs, literally means to be grieved. He carried our griefs. He knew what we were grieved by. That word literally means anxiety. It means disease. It literally means sickness. It means for us to be tore up inside and from the regret that we have. And for everybody, it's different. It's something that we look back on our life and we think, if I could change that, I'm sure Barabbas had those, not that he was repentive. But if anybody has regrets from your past of the things that you say, if I could go back and change that I rebelled against my parents and I hurt them so bad and it bothers us and it eats us alive, if I could go back and be a different parent to my kids, because maybe you weren't the example that they should have been, and maybe they didn't, maybe they have problems and issues today because of the mistakes and the example that you set, or maybe you made decisions that gave you a record or gave you a reputation or messed up things up in your life. Or maybe you're one that had that affair. And all the time, you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to mention it. You don't want to deal with it. You don't want your kids to know about it. I don't want it being talked about at church. But I know in my mind that I failed. It is like it eats us alive. It's a sickness. And it's thinking that I wish I could go back. I would do anything to go back. But you can't go back. And the Bible is literally talking about the anxiety or the anxious feeling that it brings into our lives. You understand that it is not just about what he did on the cross. We're talking about what he took to the cross. He carried our regrets. He carried our sorrows. The word sorrow is the emotional burdens that we have, the sighs that we release when we're frustrated and when our kids bring up and said, but you did this, or your parents bring it up, or your spouse brings it up. It's the regret that eats us alive. And the Bible literally says, let me tell you what I carried to the cross. I carried the griefs that you carry in your life. He said, I thought it was the sin, but you know, it wasn't just the sickness that he carried. It was the effects of it. On that day, he carried it for us. When they reached Calvary, they stripped Jesus. I know we don't like to talk about, but that is the truth. They stripped Jesus. And the Bible says, then the soldiers which had crucified him took his garments. On that day, he carried our guilt, but on that day, he took our shame. Do you understand what the cross did for us, or what it represents? The embarrassment of our sin. That I hate people knowing what I've done. And for some, it's a matter of not even mentally going before God, because Satan brings up to your mind who you used to be and what you've done wrong. You understand that this all started all the way back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned? Do you know the first thing that they did is they ran and did what? Hid themselves. And then the Bible says that they took the fig leaves and they tried to cover themselves up because they were ashamed of their sin. They were exposed of their sin. That's what Satan loves to do with our sin. He loves to expose our sin. That's what he does. When somebody does a crime and they're convicted of something, they walk out of the courtroom, and one of the things that they do is they'll cover their face up because of the shame. When you have an addiction, you cover it up. When you've done something wrong, you cover it up. If you've got a porn issue, you try to cover it up. If you've done something wrong, if you cheated, we try to cover it up. We're born, and the Bible says that Jesus taking our place. Time out! And the Bible talks about that despising the shame, the joy that was set before him in Hebrews, despising the shame is set down at the right hand of his Father. He was hung exposed on the cross. They stripped him of his garment, literally taking our shame, visualizing it on the cross, saying that should have been you on the cross. They nailed him there. He begins to cry out from the cross. Something that he was referencing all the way back to the garden. Because in the garden, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Have you ever thought about how he kept referencing the cup? Lord, let this cup pass from me. The cup represented the wrath of God. The cup represented the sin of humanity, the iniquity of us all. And I know the side effect of shame and sorrow and guilt and all those things that we have. But on the cross, he cried out these words, I thirst. And of course, everyone around was like, well, he's thirsty, whatever. But he was talking to his Father. And that their presence, I thirst, literally, okay, give it to me. Do you understand what happened in that moment? The visual of that as Jesus was on the cross, the wrath of God that has to punish sin was poured out on Jesus. And we know what happens, and maybe we don't fully understand. After they nailed him to the cross, he cries out in that moment after he says, I thirst. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the sky went black. Because in order for Jesus to become sin for us, for the sin of humanity, your past, your affair, your mistakes, your shame, your guilt, your failure as a parent, your failure as a teenager, your failure in your job and in your marriage, all of that was poured out on Jesus Christ. And God, who knew no sin, and God, the righteous Father, had to turn his back on his Son in order for him to die on the cross for our sins. And why have you forsaken me? And the humanity of that he knew that he became sin, he became shame, he became all those things for us. He took our punishment. Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We were broken, we were sick, we were depraved, we were messed up, we were guilty, we are shameful. With his stripes, with his blood, with his sacrifice, you are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus carried our failures to the cross of Calvary. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus, and he took it all. In the last words that Jesus said on the cross, and we know this, he says in John 19:30, he cried out, "It is finished." Do you understand? As he carried the guilt, carried our griefs, carried our sorrows, carried the anxiety, carried the regret from your past, carried all of your mistakes and the shame and everything that you hide and everything. He said, the payment of that, the side effects of that, he said, it is done. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to carry that. You don't have to walk before God with your head down and be ashamed of that. And you say, other people know. The one that knows is your righteous Father. When he became sin and took on our shame, he clothed you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I stand redeemed and made whole and finished and healed before Jesus Christ today. For those that have that blood applied to your sin. Galatians 2:20, my life verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That is a symbol. We're going to talk about that more on Sunday, about those two symbols and what those represent. But it is a symbol to remind you that you don't have to live in shame anymore. It is finished. You don't have to carry your iniquity anymore. It is finished. Your sorrows, that regret, it is finished.